Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, Scott Horton Show. All right, introducing our friend Phil Weiss, keeper of the Mondo Weiss blog. I say it that way because there are a lot of great writers there besides him, and he's one of them, but so are a lot of others. I really hope that you guys will sign up for the morning email and the rest of it and keep a very close eye on the Mondo Weiss blog. It's really great stuff all the time. Welcome back to the show, Phil. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Scott, for having me.
Very happy to have you here, and I'm happy to interview you about something that you've written far better than what I originally invited you on about.
Oh.
Which, you know, the essay that you wrote about the politics and all that, maybe we could even get into it at the end, but I don't know. Who cares about Kerry? The important thing is this thing that you've written among the settlers, and now I guess part two is up there, you just told me during the break as well. And this is about your recent trip to the West Bank. And do I understand you right, sir, that you've been to the West Bank before, but you always stayed with Palestinians. And now this is the first time that you stayed with Jewish settlers on the West Bank and learned all about the situation from their point of view. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is. That's I've always been curious about getting into settler life. I never thought I could. Then Airbnb, I learned last year, was putting up, allowing people to visit the settlements, and I used that service, and I went to four settlements, spent 5 days in the West Bank. Altogether, around 10 settlements I was in with my hosts going around. And I think it's actually related to the politics in this sense. John Kerry has spent some political capital recently, so has the American ambassador to Israel, Daniel Shapiro, in saying, hey, you got, in so many words, they haven't said it explicitly, you've got a two-law discriminatory system in the West Bank for against Palestinians. You have a one-state reality between the river and the sea. The two-state solution seems to be over. I was there. I witnessed it firsthand. It's apartheid, and it's never going away, right? These people want this, they say, and I think the settlers make this argument very convincingly. They did to me that Israeli society is behind them. Israeli society is not going to challenge the occupation. Even the so-called liberal Zionists don't raise the issue of the peace process. They don't want a Palestinian state. These people, 600,000 of them, are there to stay, and we really, our press has failed us, you know, and John Kerry has actually been in front of the press on this. Our press has failed to explain to Americans that the two-state solution is over. These people are living there. It's one state. We've got to figure out a better way, or they do, and we should certainly not be supporting what's going on there.
Yeah, it is. I guess that is what's the most notable thing about it, is that he would dare to say that. And I guess,
yeah.
I wonder why. I mean, because his point is already that it's too little too late, right?
Well, you know, the thing is, if you read both Shapiro and Kerry's speeches, they're pretty careful. They don't go quite that far. It's just a couple of comments in there in each case. I mean, Kerry has said there's this one state reality that's taking hold. Absolutely. It's been taking hold for a long time. What's remarkable is that the sort of stream of vituperation that you get from Israelis to even when they even suggest this in international forums. And that same stream of vituperation is what I think has kept the American press from going near this question. They don't want to alienate the Israelis. There are a lot of Zionists in the American press who want to believe in this dream castle Israel of that will be preserved through a two-state solution. It's not happening, and honest observers have got to start relaying this to the American public so that we can move on to the reality and try to, you know, distance ourselves from this occupation, which is not going away.
Well, and so, In the article, you quote one of the settlers explaining about the wall, that the wall is not for security because, after all, a great many of the settlers, and I guess I was unaware of this, a great many of the settlers live on the Palestinian sides of the walls, wherever they are scattered, you know, as it snakes through the West Bank. And, you know, if they wanted to fight, they could come and fight us. You know, there's no wall between us. That's
right.
Not what it's about. It's about what?
He said that it's about keeping as many Jews inside Israel and as few filthy Arabs, as he said the government regards Palestinians. He does not regard them that way, but keeping as few filthy Arabs on the other side so that they won't be able to vote in Israeli elections. This is a guy who works closely with Palestinians all the time as a security guard when they're working building houses inside settlements. And he says that, he admits that the guys who pay him, Palestinians pay him to guard them, to protect the settlers from them inside the settlements. It's an absurd system. They can't vote. They can't even drive in the settlements without getting a pass. They can't walk into the settlements, the Palestinians. I saunter into these settlements without a question asked. It's a clear apartheid system. And as the settler admitted to me, it's wrong that they can't vote. My friend Ahmed, he can't vote. That's bad. And, you know, but every settler I talk to has no plan in mind for the time that these people can vote in any near future until they accept the Jewish state of Israel or other such absurd demands of people who are living under a government that they don't have any consent to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it comes up a couple of times in the piece here that the bottom line is there would be a civil war if some pretend labor government in the future said, all right, settlers, out. The army wouldn't obey the orders, or maybe half of them would, and the other half would go to war against them. That it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And the time that it did happen in 2006, when they removed some settlers from Gaza, you know, I think 7,000 settlers were removed on that occasion. And, you know, the settlers now say, well, look what happened in Gaza. They're never going to, and the whole society, the whole of Israeli Jewish society says, hey, we did it in Gaza. We're not going to do it again because we don't want to create a hostile Palestinian entity on the West Bank. We don't want a Palestinian state. I think that that is actually a broad consensus inside Israeli society.
Which is now, why Sharon did it, too, and did it that way.
That certainly, yes, I've heard that. I wasn't around for that, but I've certainly heard that argument. Yeah, that he wanted to keep the West Bank in formaldehyde, as they put it. Just, you know.
Right. Yeah, I actually have the quote here. I won't bore you, but there's, yeah, that's what they said. This is a way to freeze the peace process and make sure that it never is carried out by doing it unilaterally the way they did or whatever. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the West Bank, Judea, and Samaria, this is much more important in the minds of the religious settlers than the Gaza Strip ever was, right?
I think it is, yes. They have this religious ideology. You know, you and I are not Bible thumpers, so it's hard to know how much of this gets dreamed up anyway as an ideology. But, yes, they have an ideology that this is the land of Israel, this is the Judean hills, this is Judea, this is where a Jew belongs. And they will promote that to you. I mean, it's a complete integration of church and state, which even some of the reasonable people among them seem to despair about. They realize what a demon has been created through this religious colonial project. And you see is that yes, there would be. They say that they would rise up if anyone tried to remove them. And I have no doubt about that. They're leading lives that they've been there for two and three generations. Their children are building houses next to them. Their grandparents are buried there. They're just, you know, they're not leaving. And the Israeli society generally knows they're not leaving. And so for anyone to pretend that there's an actual viable Palestinian state will be created, it's just, it's horse manure, and the more that Americans begin to understand this, the more our policy can shift to adjust to this reality, and I think that that policy means separation from Israel.
All right, now, well, good time to take this break, and we're going to pick up that conversation, America's relationship with Israel, during this occupation, as it relates to the occupation, with the great Philip Weiss from Mondo Weiss blog, right after this, mondoweiss.net. Hey, Al Scott here. If you've got a band, a business, a cause, or campaign, and you need stickers to help promote, check out thebumpersticker.com at thebumpersticker.com. They digitally print with solvent ink, so you get the photo quality results of digital with the strength and durability of old-style screen printing. I'm sure glad I sold thebumpersticker.com to Rick back when. He's made a hell of a great company out of it, and there are thousands of satisfied customers who agree with me, too. Let thebumpersticker.com help you get the word out. That's thebumpersticker.com at thebumpersticker.com. Hey, Al Scott Horton here. Are you a libertarian and or peacenik? Live in North America? If you want, you can hire me to come and give a speech to your group. I'm good on the terror, war, and intervention, civil liberty stuff, blaming Woodrow Wilson for everything bad in the world, Iran, central banking, political realignment, and, well, you know, everything. I can teach markets to liberals and peace to the right. Just watch me. Check out scotthorton.org/speeches for some examples, and email me, scott@scotthorton.org, for more information. See you there. All right, kids, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, Scott Horton Show, etc. like that. scotthorton.org is the site where I keep all the archives. Sign up for the podcast feed and things, scotthorton.org. Right here, talking with Philip Weiss from the Mondo Weiss blog. He just got back from a tour of the West Bank settlements, Airbnb settlement style there. And well, he's talking about his observations of the one-state reality and the death of the two-state solution, apparently, quite some time ago. And then where we stopped at the break, you were mentioning the all-important U.S. role and the conversation that's got to be had here about American culpability in this. Because, after all, that's why Mohammed Atta signed up with Osama bin Laden to kill 3,000 Americans, was because America paid for the Israelis to occupy and persecute the Palestinians.
Yeah, I agree with you.
His biographer wrote it, so.
Right. And, you know, in fact, I was in one settlement I was at, I didn't put this in the article, but my host said, you see that hill over there? There's a resident of that hill that you guys are paying room and board for. I said, who's that? Sirhan Sirhan, he said. He left this part of Palestine and was so angry at Bobby Kennedy that he went and killed him in 1968. And so I think that there has been a long, you know, there's obviously this is our support for Israel has embroiled us in a conflict that I don't think we really have a dog in that hunt. Or if we do, it's on the human right. It should be the human rights cause, which is that of the Palestinian oppressed peoples. Just as we ended up siding with the black people who had no rights in South Africa. This is what we should be doing here, too.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's especially interesting to me for right-wingers who support all this when Israel has a very socialist economy and healthcare for all and free education for all, in ways that conservatives don't support in the United States, but it's American money paying for it all, right? Or am I overstating the extent of that?
Well, I don't know if we pay for it all, but we certainly subsidize that economy.
No, but I mean, their economy is a very socialist one, much more so than Americans would support here, right?
I don't know about that, actually, because I think that they started out socialist. I mean, I think they have a better health care system than we've got in terms of providing health care. But I think there's a lot of...
meaning taxpayers pay for it rather than customers.
You got it.
So that's not better to me necessarily, but it's making the point that this is, you know, when they say America pays, you know, a third now of Israel's military budget every year, and these dollars are fungible. You could just as easily say we're paying for their socialist state so that they can afford this military. But
that's
then a right winger will cry.
That is an interesting line. I would be curious to see why. I mean, I guess I'm waiting for Trump to say that. You know, Trump is, said a couple of other things that are a breath of fresh air on the wall. He said that Hillary supports a wall in Palestine that discriminates against people, but she's against the one that he would put on the Mexican border. So
he's just pro wall. He ain't against that one. Only for this one too. But no, I understand your point though.
Yes.
That's funny.
So I don't know. I mean, I wonder how much of this is going to break out in the next, in this political cycle we're in. I'm hoping a lot. I mean, I've always looked to the Democratic Party because there the base is the values of the base. Progressive values are completely opposed by Israel in its treatment of Palestinians. I mean, that is it's an apartheid state. And yet the Democratic Party is more supportive of Israel than just about anybody.
Do you think there's a change coming in terms of official annexation of the West Bank and let's stop pretending here kind of thing?
I don't think so. I think that what I observed was that people said that, look, the liberal left side completely understands we're not leaving. They're not even talking about the peace process. They folded in with Netanyahu. There's a broad center in Israeli public life. But the elites are always going to talk about a Palestinian state because they have to. Netanyahu will continue to talk about a Palestinian state. So I think that what they hope for is just that this kind of apartheid situation of managed conflict will continue to just drag along.
And when you say have to, you mean because of international politics, not because of domestic politics.
Oh, no. I think that domestically everyone's in on the joke, and they're just winking off the rest of the world. I mean, when people say that there's still going to be a two-state solution or we got to boycott settlement goods, they're not really talking about the society I saw, which is one where there's broad support among the Jewish public, including throughout Israel and the settlements, for the settlements as an extension of the Zionist dream. The same thing that Israelis or Jews were doing, Zionist Jews were doing 80 and 100 years ago in the Galilee, they're now doing in the Judean hills. They're building heavily fortified places. People are carrying semi-automatic rifles around these places because they fear for their lives. And that's just what Zionism is about. It's about extending the Jewish presence in the land of Israel. I mean, Zionism stood for a lot of things, I should say. There were some very idealistic strands of Zionism, too. This is what it's turned out to be. It's sort of like talking about the dreams of communism under Stalin. Communism worked out in a certain way. Zionism has worked out in a certain way, and it ain't pretty.
Yeah. Well, now, so in the last elections, Netanyahu admitted the truth domestically. I guess he should have just said it in Hebrew or something, but he did say that, no, there will always only be one Israel between the river and the sea, which seemed to be pretty much a proclamation of, one step beyond just de facto annexation at that point even. But so I guess what you're saying, though, is as long as they don't make that final step, then they can call it something less than outright apartheid. They can just keep pretending someday there will be an independent Palestine and never admit that, no, it's all just Israel with the Palestinians as the rightsless and the occupied within it.
Right. I think that that is their game right now, that they can't state that openly because the wave of international isolation would just mount enormously. Now, that wave is starting anyway, as it should, because people see through the hypocrisy. But as one settler said to me, you know, there's what you think, and then there's what you say and what you write. And Netanyahu doesn't mean any of this. It's just lip service. And so I think that increasingly you see foreign leaders beginning to call them on this, and the wave of Palestinian stabbing attacks, you know, these young people really giving up their lives to oppose occupation by attempting to stab soldiers and sometimes civilians too, yes. I think that that is drawing attention to this very cruel and brutal conditions.
Isn't that straight out of the Bible, too? I think you and I might have talked about this years ago in the context of suicide terrorism, that it's in the Bible that this is what Jewish, whatever they were called, they had a name for them, I forget, who would attack the Roman soldiers. There'd be three Roman soldiers. They knew they were going to die, but they'd stab one and then get stabbed, right?
I got to look that up. You know, Scott, I've got a Bible right here on my desk, you know, and maybe it's going to take me a little while to find, but
I'm the least biblically literate person you've ever met. I admit that, but I learned that from somebody who knew what they were talking about, I'm pretty sure.
I like it.
That was, you know, and in fact, that was like part of what, you know, according to the mythology, was what you know, angered the Romans so much that they ended up, you know, kicking them right out. That they fought back when they should have bided their time, or that kind of thing was part of the story.
Well, and certainly Jewish terrorism was a large factor in the creation of the Jewish state. You know, Israel was founded in part because the colonist was forced out. The colonists being, you know, the British had the mandate from the League of Nations to, you know, sort of supervise these two populations. And the Israelis, the Jews wanted them out of there, so they committed a lot of acts of terrorism in 1946 and 47. And, you know, the British said, no mas, and they got out. So you can understand why, I mean, I can understand why Palestinians are doing what they're doing. I don't approve of it, but it's certainly not a surprise.
Yeah. Well, and of course, that's all I meant to say, too, was,
yeah,
you know, you could look at any of these things like it's just a social experiment or something. What happens if we cut off capital to this neighborhood? Will the crime rate go up? Yep.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Like, that's kind of thing. What will happen if we occupy these people, you know?
Yes, yes. And, you know, as Dennis Ross says, there's never been a benign occupation. Why is Dennis Ross, Israel's lawyer, working in the United States government, you know, or has he been so steadily for administration after administration? It's because of the Israel lobby, and I think that's really at the heart of this.
All right, y'all, please go to MondoWeiss.net and read it. Among the Settlers, Part 2 is up there now as well.
Thanks,
really
God.
Great work that you've done here, Phil. Appreciate
it, man.
All right, see y'all tomorrow.
Talk
thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for Liberty.me, the great libertarian social network. They've got all the social media bells and whistles. Plus, you get your own publishing site, and there are classes, shows, books, and resources of all kinds. And I host two shows on Liberty.me. Eye on the Empire with Liberty.me's Chief Liberty Officer Jeffrey Tucker every other Tuesday, and The Future of Freedom with FFF founder and president Jacob Hornberger every Thursday night, both at 8 Eastern. When you sign up, add me as a friend on there. ScottHorton.Liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com. Hey, y'all, Scott here for Samurai Tech Academy at MasterSamuraiTech.com. Modern appliance repair requires true technicians who can troubleshoot their high-tech electronics. If you're young and looking to make some real money, or you've been at it a while and just need to keep your skills up to date, Samurai Tech Academy teaches it all. And they'll also show you the business, how to own and run your own. Take a free sample course to see how easily you can learn appliance repair from MasterSamuraiTech.com. Use coupon code Scott Horton for 10% off any course or set of courses at MasterSamuraiTech.com.